You want to say like your average ETA of like apology?
Yeah, like a day. It's like a day. Come on.
That's like an expedited.
Feel some? Am I boring you? You yawned twice in the span of 2 minutes.
You know, and I'm definitely guilty of holding a little grudge.
Especially as the oldest daughter and someone who is a grudge retiree. Okay, this might be a hot take, but I think, hello everyone, welcome back to our podcast. Today is going to be an exciting episode. It is actually the season finale, so we wanted to end off with a bang. We are talking about the dilemma between holding a grudge or being the bigger person, okay? A lot of us have held grudges growing up, given the silent treatment, just not communicated with the people around us, especially our parents. And today, now that we're older, we have been taught to be the bigger person, and it's not exactly easy to put your pride aside and just forget about all these feelings, right? But we are really putting all of our thoughts, our internal feelings out on the table to talk to you guys about holding a grudge and if that's worth it, versus just being the bigger person always and just being an adult even when you're not truly an adult yet, right? So this episode is for all of the oldest daughters, all of the people who have just thought to hold a grudge and that's easier. And this is for anyone who might need a push to think about having empathy and being the bigger person. It's not always easy, but we're hoping that this will help you get to that point. But we hope you enjoy this episode, and we will see you in the next one.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Thank you so much. Come back to another episode of Difficult-ish. Podcast about Saturday narratives, hosted by my co-host right here next to me.
Wakanda, I'm on a different side today. And this is my co-host right here.
On my original side, Mashnu Munir.
Oh, Manush Munir Meshnoon.
Yeah, Meshnoon is my new alter ego.
And I don't know why you put that on yourself.
Meshnoon is like when I'm in like my gamer mode, you know.
Meshnoon?
I'm Meshnoon.
You just sound like a loser.
Before we get further, like the video, subscribe to the YouTube channel, Relay's Podcast, review the podcast. Leave a
it
comment.
Takes less than
leave a follow. 26. Follow us. Say hi to us. And we hope you guys are well.
Well, if they're not, then that's a whole other story.
We love you.
If you're not well, then why are you listening to us? Well, maybe it is helping them get well.
Get better. First announcement.
Seeing us again.
No, we're going to be taking a little break because for good reasons. Good reasons. I'll tell you guys why. One, we're planning.
What are we planning?
Our nikah ceremony.
Oh, we're getting married?
Something like that.
That's insane. So I didn't know that was happening.
Doing a lot of that too. I'm studying for my MBA exam.
You're doing an MBA.
I'm getting my MBA. Hopefully, you know, inshallah, by the grace of God, I get accepted after I submit these exam scores.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. And three, I'm going on a little solo trip, guys.
Yeah, finally.
I'm out of here. I'm going to like 5 different cities. You know, go kick it. Go catch a little vibe. But that's for me. What about you? What are you like up to the next month?
Just rest, you know.
Right, yeah.
I've been traveling a lot the last few months, and this is my lock-in era.
Facts.
You know, I'm locking in for a new collection. I'm locking in for wedding planning. I'm locking in for just more in-person community events and things like that.
Whoa. But yeah, you know, this will be, episode maybe like next 3 weeks. Probably take that off. So that's okay with you? Hope
if
so.
That's okay. If not,
hope so.
We're still going to be doing it.
Yeah, right. But what's up? How are you? Good? Good?
I've been good. Yeah, I've been good. I don't think there's anything much new.
Yeah.
Just, you know, my toilet was clogged the past couple of days and, you know.
How'd it get clogged though?
I didn't even know it was clogged. I genuinely didn't even know it was clogged because this is the thing. The situation I was in was that the water was going down, the toilet water was going down, but the toilet paper was not going down. So if I wanted to do number one, yeah, I could do it, but the toilet paper would still be there. If I wanted to do number two, that's a no-no. I can't do number two. And so as a girl, I am not equipped to do this. I didn't even have a plunger in the home. And so I had to wait for him to come back from his trip to help me do that.
Yeah.
Like, I can run a business. I can, you know, do other big power woman things, but if I have to like plunge a toilet,
yeah,
I'll do it. I overflowed my toilet in my last apartment. Yeah, that happened. Did. I had to plunge it. Yeah, it was not a good situation.
That wasn't a good situation.
That one was, I would not.
I remember.
You weren't even there. How do you remember?
No, because I frantically called.
Yeah, I frantically called him. but yeah, anyway, the toilet's unplugged.
Yeah, good. Do you want to start the episode?
I'm glad you guys listened to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this episode, I'm ready to talk about, you know, because this one is about holding a grudge versus being the bigger person, right?
Mm.
A lot of us have been told to be the bigger person, whether it comes to arguments, whether it comes to just disagreements with your parents. You as a child are told to be a bigger person. Sometimes if you have emotionally capable, intelligent parents, they're the ones that are the bigger person. They apologize. But, you know, I was told to be the bigger person and be the adult when my parents or any other family members weren't being the adult in the situation, right?
Wow.
And I think this one's going to be a hitter because a lot of us hold grudges, and for a good reason sometimes, because we've given so many excuses to our parents or family members or friends in our life. And then the best thing is to either cut them off or hold that perpetual grudge. But we're going to talk about holding a grudge and the outcome we think that we'll have and how that makes us feel. Am I boring you? You yawned twice in the span of 2 minutes.
Sorry.
I'm boring you?
No, you're not. You're not
you said you had the best sleep of your life last night,
I'm
too.
Still tired.
Okay. So anyway.
Sorry.
So talking about what the repercussions are with holding a grudge, but then also what are the repercussions with being the bigger person?
Oh.
Because now that we're older, I feel like we have a little bit more empathy and a little bit more just emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Where we can be the bigger person, even though it's hard a lot of the times. But regardless, I don't know if there's the right answer for this one.
Yeah. Know? Yeah.
But yeah, we've gone through the mud with this one, so maybe you guys can relate to some of the things we say.
Yeah, it's easy to hold a grudge. You know, it's easy to do the I won't say wrong thing, but you know, just the first thing that comes to mind, you know, the thing that takes the least amount of brain power.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to keep that up. It's easy, you know, to always put up that front, to, you know, not put your pride to the side. But a lot of times it is important, you know, and I'm definitely guilty of holding a little grudge.
You hold grudges?
I'm also not guilty, you know.
I feel like you helped me out of my grudge era, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But I think there are personally some grudges that must be kept.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But that's just me, though.
Mm. But do you think that grudges help you feel better? Like, what feeling do you get out of holding a grudge?
I think that in certain situations, moving past the grudge doesn't make me feel better.
Mm.
I'm not saying holding the grudge makes me feel better. I'm saying that if I were to put both side by side, overall, I would have more of a liking towards, you know, the outcome of holding a grudge rather than, you know.
Like, what's an example?
I had a family member do me wrong. And this family member has never, you know, done the right thing that you're supposed to do after you do someone wrong, which is apologize. Make amends, take accountability, you know, what's the word? Kind of like recuperate, like try to pay them back, not financially or financially, but, you know, emotionally, kind of like, you know, like in
a way,
right. But in certain situations, you gotta understand that they're not gonna do that.
Acceptance.
So why get over the grudge? Let me ask you, why get over the grudge and you say, hey, person, I was upset, da da da, but we're okay.
Yeah.
You know what they're going to do? Okay.
Yeah.
So is that, like, which one is, like, better on my mental?
But I think it's a lot easier to hold that grudge or completely cut someone off if they're not a priority to you. If they're not actually someone that you care to hold that relationship.
That's true.
Third yawn.
No,
in
you know what it is.
You only had two coffees today.
No, guys. I had one.
You only had one coffee today, guys. But sorry. Yeah, I think it's a lot easier to hold a grudge and cut someone off if they're not like a parent or someone that you directly have in your social circle.
That's true.
So I feel like if your dad like crashed your car and didn't apologize, did you dirty, then it would have been a lot harder for you to just.
Very true.
Get out. No, genuinely get out.
I'm sorry.
The hell?
It's not you. It's literally.
Swallow the yawn.
Because I haven't had.
No, so I don't want to hear about you didn't have your fourth coffee of the day. Like,
no,
you need help.
Also, because
that's
the first coffee wasn't a real coffee.
You
it
genuinely
was like
need
a bullshitter.
Help. Okay, anyway.
But yeah, I mean, what about you? Or like, where do you want to, you know, start things off? Like, do you want to start off like.
Yeah, I think we can start off with just being younger and how what you said is a lot easier to hold a grudge.
Yeah. Did you hold grudges when you were young?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I?
Give me one of them.
Just, you know, when me and my parents would fight a lot when I was a teenager, the easiest thing for me to do was give them the silent treatment.
Yeah, you're good at this one.
Yeah, I'm good at this one.
You're real good.
I don't want to be good at this one, but unfortunately the circumstances led me to being good at this.
Oh.
So anyway, I would give the silent treatment a lot. And this is something that I learned as well. It's not like I just made this up. I learned them giving the silent treatment to us or to each other. So I also learned that this is an acceptable way to take out your anger and your feelings by just not communicating at all.
Yeah.
Coming home, shutting the door, and only coming down when there's food ready, right?
Yeah. Even that.
Even then, it's barely. I would also protest food.
Yeah, you'd go on a hunger strike.
Yeah, hunger strike. But anyway, I would give the silent treatment if I was having a disagreement with my parents, whether I was right, whether they were right. The lines are blurry, right? We're losing the plot here. And so I learned to do that because it was the easier outcome, the easier way to handle things. But I think that made me realize that I am just taking an easy cop-out to communication, where I would not do the hard part of communicating my feelings, because I also couldn't communicate it without getting angry or crying or just like being overly emotional about it. But now as an adult, like years later of just growing up, knowing how to regulate my emotions more, therapy, whatever the case is, like I feel like I'm able to communicate feelings more. And we'll get into this later, but now that I am able to be the bigger person, I am able to communicate that a lot more and am able to like cause that chain reaction of my parents being a little bit more emotionally intelligent.
You
too,
think so?
With like the start of me doing it,
mm.
You know, whereas before, since it was so ingrained in me
normalized.
To give that's the word normalized to do the silent treatment and also just not talk about anything serious, just yell at each other with no sense of normal conversation, it was abnormal to talk about your feelings and explain why you're upset or have any sort of just regulation.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
but I remember giving the silent treatment a lot and just not being able to communicate my feelings, even whether it is with my parents, with friends, me just not talking to them. If a friend like hurt me, I would think that would just get them to realize that what they did was wrong. But, like, I don't think that ever works. You know? But it's, like, I think to an extent, if you give someone the silent treatment, they might think that something is wrong, but they might not realize what exactly is wrong and how to fix it for you, you know?
And sometimes, like, they're so unclear that they don't even, like, know how to, like, confront the situation themselves. Like, they don't know how to be, like, why are you da da da? You know, it's an awkward question to ask. Why aren't you talking to me?
Yeah.
You know, what is wrong? And like, part of them feels some type of way because they're like, why am I the one that's asking what's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so yeah, I get it. I think I used to do that a lot with my mom too. Like, when she would do something that I didn't like, I would give her a silent treatment. And it was a lot of like, I'm sure you relate, just completely disregarding the fact that like I'm trying to invict said
silent treatment. Invict?
Invict?
What is that? Can you expand what
invict? Like
can
bring into a reality.
Can you spell that?
Yeah, high and be high and CT.
Now see, now we just make things up. All right. But when I do it, it's a problem. Then it goes into the notes app.
And yeah, that shit would just not work. Like, it would not be in my favor. They would just completely disregard the fact that I'm upset with something, and they would act like everything is completely okay. And
yep.
You know, thankfully you don't know anything about this. So.
No, thankfully not.
Yeah, we don't
I've
have
never
to.
Experienced any of that. You would think that holding a grudge would kind of alleviate the problem and you can just get over it, or the other person will get over it because time has passed where you haven't talked to them and they probably recognize their mistake and they've gotten better. But first of all, this is just an assumption. They actually probably have not gotten better because they don't know exactly what they've done. And second, I feel like holding a grudge just brings so much anxiety to you because you're just constantly thinking about this person. They're bringing tension, but you are not actually like confronting the problem and talking about it or fixing it. And then also, if you guys do end up talking again after this grudge is done, you guys finally want to rekindle, whatever it is, you don't really get over the problem until another problem arises, and then that grudge that you originally had is just one layer of the multiple layers you
right.
now have, you know?
Right.
Unless if you guys do talk about it and you can assess the first problem, fix it, and then if there's another problem later on, you're not gonna like kind of go back to that same like problem and root of the problem every single time. Unless it's just never talked about.
Right,
know?
Right.
So I feel like holding a grudge for me personally brought more pain
anxiety.
Than just thinking it was a solution to a problem.
That makes sense. Yeah, I remember this one time in seventh grade, I forged my report card. And
seventh grade forging is wild.
Yeah, it was my first one ever forged. So bad too. Jeez Louise. My mom came to school and she found out. And she, like, screamed at me at school.
At school?
Yeah.
In front of everyone?
Yeah.
You deserve that.
And then I came home and I, like, didn't talk to her for, like, probably just the next...
Why? Acting like you... Acting like she had something in the wrong.
Probably just for, like, the next day I didn't talk to her. And then, like... And then the next morning I realized I was, like, my mom was technically, like, not in the wrong.
Yeah, you know? I mean...
So that grudge was gotten over real quick. But I think that happens to me a lot where, like... There are some grudges that really last, but for the most part, I just have like a evening grudge.
I don't know what that is.
Like an evening grudge, and then you sleep, and then in the morning you're like, okay,
like
that wasn't like that.
Oh, that was an evening grudge. But
yeah.
Do you have like a real life recent example?
That's real life.
Okay.
That's a fantasy.
Recent.
I'm sure I do.
Like when I take the last cookie, and then you're just mad at me.
Nah, you'll do something that irks my follicles, and
yeah.
Then I'll be like, stop, and then you don't listen, and then the next morning I'm like, okay, it wasn't that serious.
Yeah, no, it's literally like me taking the last poppy. No, it's genuinely that.
It's genuinely not.
Or it's
how
like,
about you don't pay
I
me
I want
to
watch
that.
A show, I want to watch The Summer I Turned Pretty, you want to watch the last episode of Dexter. Like it's that.
All right, but who would win, say they came out same time?
Me. Well, why not both?
You got one TV.
Okay, but I'm saying not at the same time, simultaneously, but after.
Yeah, so who would be first?
Me. Okay, anyway. So, yeah, so do you think a grudge is what you would still do, maybe per se, to like your parents now?
It's a good question. No.
No.
I do not hold grudges with my parents anymore.
Mm.
For multiple reasons.
Tell me.
One, I have gotten as close as possible to accepting who they are. I understand.
That's a big thing.
I understand their imperfect tendencies. And I am, for the most part, past the point of trying to shift them and alter them and mold them into something other than what they are.
But you know, no, continue.
For the most part, like I'm still obviously I'm be throwing, you know, planting little seeds. Oh, maybe we should try to be better at this. Maybe we should do some more of this. Da da da. Obviously, still for the rest of the life, planting those seeds. But for the most part, I have accepted.
Yeah.
And I'm not like, when I say accepted, like yeah, it. Partly saddens me a little bit, but like partly in like a sunny way, like I'm okay, we are still okay, we will still have issues, but I love them and life will be as good as we can make it, you
and
know?
I think there's also a difference between holding grudges versus being very strong with your boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like holding a grudge is when you are either giving the silent treatment or you're just unable to get past the situation and you're still like continuously mad at them, even if you're talking to them or
mm-hmm.
your friends or whatever. Whereas setting a boundary, for example, right now as we're planning this wedding, we are choosing the guest list and who will and will not be invited, right?
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
There have been many people in my life, in my family, who are my family by blood, but they just don't wish the best for me or don't talk the best about me, right? And I think setting a boundary is telling your parents that, like, despite anything you say, especially if you have your own financial advantage with the situation, if you are funding your own wedding, despite what you say, I will not be budging with these set rules that I have for my wedding on who to invite and whatever else the thing is, right? And that's just setting a boundary.
Yeah.
Whereas holding a grudge is that, like, you're just perpetually mad or upset about something with them.
Yeah.
You know? I just think it's hard to navigate both at the same time, especially when parents or close friends or family members have such a big, like, say in your life sometimes.
Yeah.
But regardless,
yeah,
it's needed, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And also, you know, like, I hate to be that guy.
Be that guy.
But, like, they're getting up there, man. So, like,
yeah,
you start to realize as we get to these ripe age of, you know, our transitional years, as some would say, or late 20s, some things are just not as big of a deal as they used to be. You know what? You know all the shit you would get mad at when you were 16? Well, that just isn't that big of a deal,
yeah,
at this time, you know?
It was so much easier to hold a grudge when you were in high school because you just felt like your parents were going to live forever. Or anyone around you. You just had this infinite view of the world. But now as you're older, you're more accepting of your parents' flaws and imperfections. And also just, you have more empathy now where you try to put yourself in their shoes.
Yeah.
And you're like, dang. I probably wouldn't react the same way you did, but
yeah,
like,
I would have been worse.
I would have been worse. Yeah. But I think the empathy and the age factor really plays a big part
in it, do
being the bigger person. But let me tell you,
yeah,
it's hard sometimes.
What is?
Just being the bigger person constantly, and especially as the oldest daughter and someone who is a grudge retiree, the silent treatment retiree. Being the bigger person is, and putting your pride aside, is so hard. And even like apologize, like me and you, if we have an argument, being the one to apologize after a fight,
say
even if I'm not the one in the wrong, is so hard.
Yeah, you want to say like your average like
what?
ETA of like apology.
Yeah, like a day. It's like a day. Come
that's
on.
Like an expedited.
No. No, it's like not an expedited.
Let's treatment. Be honest.
No, it's like same thing as you. I have to kind of sleep on it and then I wake up and I'm like, was it really that serious?
No, but you're more like standard shipping. Like a good like 3 to 5 days of like.
That's not true. I won't apologize.
You sound mad at me.
Okay. Well.
Get that one a lot. No, but yeah.
But yeah, it is so hard to constantly put your pride aside and just be the adult in situations, even when you're not even an adult yet. Like, I was telling Mishun yesterday, my mom was like, yeah, if you or your brother ever do me wrong, like, I'm an orphan. Like, you guys have to be the guardian. And I'm like, first of all, you're not an orphan. Your mother is still alive. Second of all, why are you just confidently saying we're the guardians when we're not yet? But yeah, it's just very hard to parent your parents sometimes and be the bigger person knowing that you're not in the wrong and that it should be them doing that instead and opening up that communication door. But yeah, it's very frustrating to be the adult in situations like that when you should just be someone in your teens or your 20s. But I think there has to be a ripple effect of someone who opens the doors for just communicating more properly, or, you know, being the emotionally stable person in the relationship.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think, again, it's the same thing as you, where for parents, it's a lot harder to cut them off. For close, like, best friends, it's a lot harder to cut them off. But if it is someone your age, or if it is someone who is constantly wronging you and you have to constantly be the bigger person, then we gotta do some self-evaluation and think about if that's even a worthy friendship or relationship, right? Like, if you have a bestie, imagine your bestie from Florida, and he constantly does you wrong. He constantly does not know how to regulate his emotions. He leaves the party before it has even started.
No.
We have to go out looking for him. And, you know, after a couple of days, we finally find him. And you're like, you know what?
My friends with, like, Bigfoot? Like,
we finally find him. And he's like, yeah, sorry, man.
Okay.
But constantly it's like this.
Yeah,
we
keep
forgiving him.
Yeah.
We keep having to look for him.
Right.
Would we still keep him around?
I mean, hey, no one's perfect.
No, yeah, obviously, but he's Bigfoot, so, like, so he has bigger things to worry about, so.
we're too grown for some of that type of activity, you understand?
Yeah.
Like,
I have a bestie who is constantly in the cycle of bad relationships and...
No, relationship.
Relationship, period. And it's just hard sometimes, you know, to watch that happen and see the constant advice that I give just never be taken seriously.
Never, ever.
So.
Yeah, it's like with your parents. Like, you keep telling them to do something. They're like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
That's a good point. I will never do it again.
Yeah. Damn. I also think, like, the thing with friends is, like, a lot of time they genuinely don't think, like, they're doing anything wrong. And, like, I think, like, especially one thing that I've realized is, like, some people, especially, like, people of color, like, they really take, like, the friend thing, like, to, like, a whole other extent, where, like, I know a lot of people that, like, look at all of their friends as, like, family. Like, they, like, you know, they can walk in the house whenever they want. They can have whatever they want. They don't keep track of, you know, Venmos or Zelles. Like, they're just family to them. And I think, like, a lot of people can really get lost in that. And also, like, not realizing that, like, yes, regardless of we are friends and family, put all these labels aside, like, you are still not an adequate asset to me. And you waste my time a lot by, you know, me giving you all this advice, you not listening. And you affect me mentally and emotionally by, like, making me feel like I'm not being heard, or making me feel like my words aren't worthy enough to be listened to, whatever it is. Like, I think a lot of brown people get lost in, like, the, you know, blurring the lines of, like, friends and family, and, you know, still feeling like they can get away with so much. And, like, because I think, like, brown people are also very non-confrontational. Like, they just put up with so much shit. Imagine, like, our parents, like... Bro, there's so much shit that goes on with, like, my mom's side of the family. They just, like, put up with it. They literally just put up with it. Like, ah. Like, we talked about this in our last episode. Like, it's my brother. it's just my sibling.
Yeah, he stabbed me in the hand. He's my brother.
It's just my sibling. But there's really so much of that.
And I think also it stems from how a lot of our families, there's so much taboo-ness with speaking out loud about, you know, like, alcohol abuse, or... you know, someone cheating in the marriage, or someone who had a kid with someone outside of the marriage, like, whatever it is, where now it is a lot more common to just not open up about these things in families, or just talk about emotions or feelings in general, because it's kind of a sign of weakness, and it's not exactly conventional to be talking about things like that, where I think it is our duty as kids from this generation, this new generation, to be that change and be a lot more emotionally open and create those hard conversations, you know? Like, for example, if you're marrying someone outside your culture, your parents may not be on board with that right away. And there's one aspect where, okay, you kind of know your parents by now, you've accepted their behaviors, their negative traits and qualities, but then also you should be at that point where you are trying to change that in them so you can be with your partner who is not in the same background as you. And that means, you know, opening up about hard conversations and making that hard taboo thing come to life. But you have to put in your action into that, you know?
Yeah. I think one, like, realization I had, like, quite recently, and I think it's, like, kind of vague, but it was still, like, an epiphany to me, is, like, I look at my mom and a lot of things that she struggles with and a lot of things that I get upset with her for about, like, why do you react like this? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? And I realized that, like, a lot of these things are, like, literally a direct effect of things that I, like, was aware of and was treated for, like, when I was growing up. Like, my, my exposure to, like, what emotional intelligence is and being able to learn from, like, my teachers or my peers around me, like, how to talk about my feelings and just, like, our access to social media of how we, you know, we see, like, oh, like, it's okay for boys to open up, or just we have so many more resources to everything and we have so much more exposure to everything that, like, our parents just literally just did not. They grew up in the village, they went to their schools, they went just grew up with their cousins, like, they didn't have exposure to anything and they were just caught in this cycle of, like, doing wrong, not being able to learn from it. Doing wrong, not being able to learn from it. And it has made them like these everlasting, like, unfortunate personality traits of them. Mm-hmm. That, like, I have difficulty understanding, but I have difficulty understanding them because I was treated for them, or I was aware of them when they were, like, going on and when they were coming up. You know, like, how many parents do we know that have anger issues? There's probably so many more parents, like, or people from the last generation that have anger issues than people in our generation that have anger issues, because we have resources. We go online and we see that it is wrong to get angry. We have teachers telling us it is wrong to get angry. A lot of them just, like, didn't have that, and now we see that, like, these things are going to stick with them for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. And, like, we are the silly ones for thinking that, like, they are capable of changing now, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that made sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. Can you imagine if our parents had therapy in the 40s?
Yeah.
60s?
40s.
60s. Well, shit. Not our parents, but our grandparents.
That'd be crazy.
If they had a podcast. That'd be crazy. Imagine if they were listening to us back in the 70s. Two diddle dots. But do you feel like there's a balance with both of these things? Because this might be a hot take, but I think sometimes it is necessary to give the silent treatment or hold a grudge against your parents, especially when they're just so blatantly off, so racist, just so out of pocket, where you gotta give them a little, they gotta be on, like, timeout.
Yeah.
Right? That means not picking up their calls or having that boundary of not visiting them every single week and just enabling this behavior. Because sometimes they do feel like, okay, I've gotten this far. I've gotten this far. Yeah, let's see 60 years of me being racist, being the most shitty human being. Let me see how much further I can get. Right? And sometimes, especially when you are so dependent on them for, you know, housing, finances, whatever it is, whatever you're dependent on them for, sometimes you do have to put up with it, right? But there has to be some sort of cutoff where they just cannot get away with the things that they usually do get away with.
Right. Yeah, I'll invict some silent treatment.
Again with this invict. Okay, what is invict?
It's a word.
It is not a word. Here it goes with Google. Ask Siri.
Siri, can you define the word invict? All right, it said evict.
Yeah, I know.
See, I forgot what I was saying.
You said invict. Can you define the word invict as if it's in a real, like, you can't just.
Okay. What was I saying?
You said
invict. Yeah, I mean, I'll apply some silent treatment, you know, here and there.
You'll sprinkle it into your daily routine.
Yeah, my mom said something foul, like, a few months ago. I remember I did not pick up her calls for, like, 6 days. I was like, you gotta realize that one wasn't okay.
But did she realize?
I think they're not gonna say they did.
Yeah.
But I think my mom did.
Yeah.
Because I think we've gotten to this grown age where, like, if I'm doing something like that, it's for a reason. And now that she knows there's a reason, she has to reflect and she has to think about all the things that she said wrong. And like, when they're not gonna realize the small things, they'll realize that big fat one that's sticking out like an elephant. They'll be right. Like, yeah, that one's out of pocket.
Yeah.
So you know, you're right. It does help them.
She was like testing the waters with you to see if you were gonna.
She dropped a bomb on me. I was like, Mom, that's a bomb. She's like, oh, like, yeah. So you gotta apply some here and there. You definitely gotta have a balance of it, but simultaneously we gotta understand that a lot of it can be pointless and a lot of it can be redundant, and we don't need to do it as much as maybe we did when we were younger, like at all. We don't need to do majority of it compared to like when we were younger, because of like the reasons I said. We starting to get them, we starting to accept them, we don't really want no problems with them at this ripe age. We just want to kind of live out the rest of life as normal as we can, you know.
But it's also hard, like, again, talking about the guilt that you feel as the oldest daughter of giving the grudge or putting up these boundaries. Like, when you put up boundaries, especially when we are wedding planning, people will paint you as, like, the worst villain ever. Like, how dare she not let us come to her wedding even though we've been talking shit for 20 years?
Yeah.
How dare she not pick up our calls even though we're only calling to talk shit about her so we can get intel?
What's wrong with her?
Right. So there's so many, like, you are really painted as a villain when you are choosing yourself and setting these boundaries. But even though I preach putting up these boundaries and just being like more selfish towards yourself, because we are taught to not be, there's still so much guilt associated with it, you know? Like, me not wanting to invite any of these family members that have been talking shit about me for the past few years to this very big, like, sacred point in my life, celebration of my life. Yeah, like, I want to stand on that ground. But also, shouldn't I get over it and just still invite them anyway, because they were there for me as I've grown up and have taken care of me for a part of my life before it got to, like, that bad part where they started talking shit? Or should I stand on my ground and still hold that grudge and just not let them come, because they're going to talk shit regardless if they do come or not come?
I think it's in those type of situations important to just think if they would do the same for you. You know, I think this happens a lot. Maybe it's like the artist or like the creative sentimental in you that like fantasizes about rebuilding old relationships or not even rebuilding, just like, you know, tying a bow to it and making it like a pretty kind of ending rather than just like, you don't gotta be best friends again or whatnot, but like trying to do something kind of wholesome to like tie it off. That's not how a lot of people think. A lot of people don't really care about all that, and I think that's a big pill I've had to swallow this year. Is it hurts being like the sentimental, emotional fella that kind of wants to wrap everything up in a pretty box instead of just like, you know, seen as not important enough. You know, the same way that a lot of people do. You know, so you really just gotta think if they would do the same for you, and if it, you know, helps maybe heal yourself knowing that you did it for them, then sure, that's one thing. But be prepared for the very possible reality of them not reciprocating at all. You just got to be ready for that.
That's a good one. You popped off with that one.
I know that one, buddy.
You popped off with that
one. I know that one. Yeah. I know that one. Yeah.
Good episode.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, good one.
I think it really, like, put our internal thoughts on the table.
Do you do that move again?
On the table.
Yeah, we hope you were able to, like, invict certain...
Invict.
You know, certain emotions and portray our feelings.
Yeah, as you can see.
Promptly.
This is something that we haven't just recently been going through, but for life, we've just been trying to...
I don't know what you're talking about.
...struggle with this. Like, the dilemma between holding a grudge or being the bigger person. It's a hard dilemma to confront.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I'm a bigger person in all circumstances.
Right. But yeah. Damn, good episode. You got 10-second piece of advice?
Yeah, 10-second piece of advice.
Make it good, since it's the last one of the season.
Get your batteries on Amazon. Batteries are so expensive at any store. Batteries are so much cheaper on Amazon. It is extremely valuable advice. Real ones, no. You got anything?
If you are moving to a new place and you are looking to invest in some quality pieces, I would recommend investing in a good couch and a good mattress. If I could like do it all over again with my first ever apartment, those would be the two.
Yeah,
things.
My sister got a crazy couch. That couch is.
Yeah.
I dream of having some shit.
Even
like
the
that.
Couch that I have, is secondhand, but it's comfortable.
It is, yeah.
It doesn't, you know, transform into a bed if you want
but
to.
But no,
move
I
it
haven't.
Around,
I haven't. No, nah, that couch. That it's like a transformer. Yeah. Couch. That shit is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
spend that extra buck on that.
That's all I got. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Difficult Ish. Do you have bangla day of the word of the day?
Gulpo.
That means
the bangla word of
chit-chat.
The day is gulpo. That means
chit-chat.
You know, talking,
chop
chit-chat,
it up. Chop it up.
Gulpo kutta si.
Chopping
know,
it up.
Talking it up. Yeah.
Chopping it up. Thanks so much for coming back to this episode of Difficult Ish. We will be taking a approximate 3-week break from this beautiful podcast that is your favorite, and we will be returning hot and spicy and ready to party.
It's true.
Like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
We love you. Allah Hafiz.